Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Gerard, Gilzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlake, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, Excused, Boone, Esquivel, Gilliam, Comp, Minnis, Nathanson, Patty Smith, Excused for Business of the House, Nolan.
Flag salute will be led by Representative Jean Cowan.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony will be presented by Pastor Steve Schenowork of Community Baptist Church in Winston and a guest of Representative Wayne Krieger.
Thank you. Would you pray with me? Almighty and awesome God, we acknowledge that we live in serious times and that we face significant challenges and that we have been given responsibility to make hard choices. Lord God of our salvation, we cry out before you. May our prayers reach your presence. Today we ask for your knowledge to inform our decisions, for your wisdom to direct our paths, and for your compassion to guide our choices. Today, Lord, we give you thanks for your goodness. We praise you for your faithful love. And now we ask that you, the maker of heaven and earth, would bless us as we conduct the business of this wonderful place you have granted us to live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Courtesies. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Please join me in welcoming my County Commissioner, Linda Madrell, who is in the side gallery. Welcome to the Capitol.
Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Much appreciate Pastor Chenowick, who came from Winston Community Church, a Baptist church. He's been there for 15 and a half years. He's also president of the Winston Area Community Partnership. Also like to introduce his wife on the side aisle, Cindy Chenowick. She's secretary of the Winston Middle School and a volunteer director of the church. Also next to me here is Megan, who is working as my secretary in the office. She's a junior at Corbin College in Salem, working towards a bachelor's degree in history with a minor in political science. She hopes to serve in the staff capacity either at the state or federal government level. Much appreciated. She's done a good job for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please join me in welcoming members of the Nursing Mothers Council who are here today to celebrate the passage of the Breastfeeding in the Workplace Bill. Welcome to the Capitol.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure to extend courtesy to the House of folks I can barely see, but you can see better up in the rear gallery. They are child care workers, home care workers, and nursing home workers from SEIU Local 503 in their very tame shirts. Welcome to the Capitol.
Welcome. It's good to have you here today. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request the rules be suspended. Unanimous consent be granted for a recess for the purpose of a Republican caucus of about 15 minutes.
Representative Scott, would you like to hold that until we finish courtesies? Would that be comfortable to you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, it's my pleasure to introduce one of Heppner's finest. This is R.J. Farnes. He is a senior at Heppner High School. He's also our student body president, and he's also a member of the National Honor Society. He also was a starting safety for the league champion Heppner Mustangs and starting guard for the Heppner Mustangs basketball team. This week he is interning in our office, and we just hope you would extend courtesies to this fine young man. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Good to have you. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to extend courtesies to the House to Colin Jabin, a constituent of mine who's here volunteering in the office today. He's a student, a senior out at McKay High School. He's getting ready to go to college next year. He's going to do political science, and he's thinking about going to University of Oregon, which, as you know, that hurts me. It's a lot of extra gas, and I'm going to talk about global warming and how Corvallis is a little bit closer for commuting. But anyway, would you please welcome him regardless, Mr. Speaker?
Thank you. Welcome. Further courtesies. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I now request the rules be suspended and we be unanimous consent to allow a Republican caucus for 15 minutes.
Representative Hunt, do you have a similar request? Representative Scott requests unanimous consent of the House for a recess for 15 minutes for purposes of a Republican caucus. Is there an objection? Seeing none, we're in recess for 15 minutes. Order, the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Boquist Bruin. Buckley. Burley, Butler, Butler Cameron, Cameron Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Dingfelder Chris Edwards, Chris Edwards David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Galizio Gerard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gilman Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Holvey Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, McPherson Maurer, Maurer Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nelson Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Tomei Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Boquist, Butler, Cameron, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, Galizio, Gilman, Holvey, McPherson, Maurer, Nelson, Tomei, excused, Boone, Esquivel, Minnis, When the House recessed, we were under the order of courtesies. Are there further courtesies? Representative Gelser.
Mr. Speaker, it is with a slight bit of concern that I introduce my constituent who is sitting at the desk of the good representative from Lake Oswego. Initially, I thought maybe I should be offended that my own city councilor is not sitting with me. However, given that he is a close family member of the good representative from Lake Oswego, I will continue to enjoy his good efforts on behalf of the city of Corvallis. So please join me in welcoming Stuart Warshow.
Welcome. It's very good to have you. Further courtesies? Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate has passed Senate Bill 517, 34, 482, 678, House Bills 2282, 2286, 2292, 2312, 2313, 2159, and concurred in House amendments and repassed Senate Bill 99.
First reading, memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 2062 be referred to the committee. Oh, sorry, I moved the page. Thank you. That's what I'll do next. Mr. Speaker, I move House reconsider the vote by which it failed, House Bill 2062.
Representative Roblin moves the House reconsider the vote by which it failed to pass House Bill 2062. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday we had a great debate, and I talked to a number of people. We would like to move this back to committee so that they can look at this bill one more time and see if there are things and ways in which it can be fixed and be considered to have a majority of people favor it, and I concur in letting them do that. I think it would be a good thing for this House to do to send it back to committee, so thank you.
Is there further discussion of the motion to reconsider? Seeing none, Representative Roblin, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those of the opinion that the House should reconsider the vote by which it failed to pass House Bill 2062 will vote aye. And those opposed, no, and the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Reed, how do you vote? Reed votes aye. Representative Gilman, how do you vote? Gilman votes no. The motion to reconsider House Bill 2062A, having received constitutional majority, is adopted. In compliance with Mason's Manual of Legislative Procedure, Section 468, Subsection 3, the question immediately recurs on final reconsideration of House Bill 2062. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now I move that House Bill 2062 be referred to the Committee on Transportation.
Representative Roblin moves House Bill 2062 be referred to the Committee on Transportation. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just like the committee to have a chance to look this bill over again. Thank you.
Is there further discussion of the motion to refer to the Committee on Transportation? Seeing none, Representative Roblin, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
He does not. Those of the opinion that House Bill 2062 should be re-referred to the Committee on Transportation will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. House Bill 2062 is re-referred to the Committee on Transportation. We are still under the order of propositions and motions. Representative Richardson.
Mr. Speaker, I move House Joint Resolution 21 be withdrawn from the committee, the House Committee on Education.
Representative Richardson moves that House Joint Resolution 21 be withdrawn from the Committee on Education. Mason, Section 419, Subsection 4, states, it is not in order to discuss the merits of a bill upon a motion to withdraw the bill from committee. Debate in such cases must be confined strictly to the purpose of the motion. For if this were not true, the merits of any question could be forced under discussion merely by a motion to withdraw. Representative Richardson, to your motion.
Mr. Speaker, colleagues, House Joint Resolution 21 is a constitutional amendment that, if approved by the voters, would require the legislature to pass the K-12 education budget by the 81st day of every legislative session. Today is March 29th. This is the 81st day of the 74th legislative session, and we do not have a budget for education. This body waited 12 weeks to hold the first formal hearings on a state school fund. This measure represents our efforts to fund school first. House Joint Resolution 21 places kids at the front of the line. It gives school districts certainty, which they need in their plans. Education funding is typically one of the last budgets that will pass the legislature. Despite past efforts to fund schools first, education budgets in both the 03 and 05 sessions were passed in August. We know we're not going to be here to August this time, but the school districts need the certainty that an early education budget gives. Please vote aye on this motion.
Further discussion on the motion to withdraw? Representative Hunt.
Question of the carrier?
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes.
He does.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative, in trying to understand the timing of whether or not we should consider this particular motion, this particular bill at this time, can you help me understand, you referenced in your opening remarks the action in the 2005 legislature when there was a Republican majority in the House. Did the passage of the K-12 budget on August 5th of 2005, would that have been allowed under the bill that you're purporting to bring to us today?
Absolutely not. One thing that we've learned over time is that there needs to be improvement. We need to learn from history. We need to learn from the mistakes of the past. And this bill's time has come. We need to pass the budget within 81 days.
Further question?
Further question of the carrier. Do you yield?
I yield.
He does.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the passage of the K-12 budgets under the Republican majority in June and July in 1997, 1999, 2001, 2003, those late budgets as well would not have complied with the motion you're trying to bring today?
Certainly, I want to remain under what's germane, and so I can't go back into ancient history. I can only talk about those things that I have firsthand knowledge about. In the most recent sessions, we've had a democratically controlled Senate and a Republican controlled House, and for those two bodies to work together has been somewhat difficult. But now we have an opportunity with the same party controlling both sides of this budget issue, with co-chairs from the same party. We can do this now. And so we certainly would want to make this the first year, the first legislative session, that we really put children first and pass the education budget first. Let's show Oregon that we really care about the kids.
Further question?
Further question of the carrier. Does carry you?
Yes.
He does.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So related to your last comment then, looking back to a time when we actually had united party control between the House and Senate by the Republican majority. Related specifically to the timing of this bill, would it be fair to say that in 99, when the budget passed July 4th, or 2001, when the budget passed July 7th, under unified control, based on what you just said, would that be in compliance with timing under this bill?
There's another representative standing, so I have to wait.
Sure. Representative Butler, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, I rise to a point of personal privilege.
Please go ahead and state your point.
I've sat here listening to the same question three times. It is not germane to the motion on the floor.
Okay, House will stand at ease. Thank you. In regard to a point of personal privilege, that privilege is that point is in order when it affects you personally. In a situation where a carrier of emotion is being questioned, it is up to the carrier to decide whether or not to answer the question. However, it is appropriate for questions and answers to questions to remain within the bounds of germaneness as laid out in Mason Section 491. And it is not in order to discuss the merits of a bill upon a motion to withdraw from committee for the reasons I previously stated. So I think we have a question, and it is now up to you, Representative Richardson, if you wish to respond to it within the merits of germaneness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is the 74th session. There's 73 sessions that have occurred beforehand. I'm sure that we could go back somewhere in 73 sessions and find some reason to argue one way or the other. But in reality, there are very few of us that were here in the 1990 sessions. We all are here today. We can learn from the good things and from the mistakes that were made in the past, but we can focus today and decide, are we going to stand for children or not? Are we going to give education a budget now? And this bill has the opportunity to do this. Let's support education. Let's bring House Joint Resolution 21 to the floor today.
Representative Joffre, for what purpose do you rise?
A privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Please go ahead and state your point.
And thank you for your indulgence. I'm confident my friend from Southern Oregon did not mean to do this, but some of the comments he's made as far as whether or not we move this today, and if we don't, would be showing that we don't care about the children of Oregon, may be interpreted as an impugning of those of us who do not agree or don't care about children. And I just thought I'd point that out.
I believe, Representative Hunt, you have the floor.
Further question of the carrier?
Further question of the carrier, does the carrier yield?
Yes.
And I appreciate your focus on this session. I won't ask any more questions about the past, Representative. In terms of trying to understand how the timing of this motion and if this were to consider this bill, in terms of this session, in terms of what we know now, in terms of where we all are you prepared today, are any of us prepared today to vote today on a K-12 budget?
Mr. Chair, Representative, absolutely. And in just a few minutes, we may have the opportunity to do just that.
Further question?
Further question of the carrier, do you yield?
I
he does.
What level of K-12 funding would you support if we were to have this requirement before us today?
Mr. Chair, I feel that goes beyond the purview of this motion.
That is appropriate for you to reject the question, and I am advised it is outside the area of germaneness.
To the motion.
To the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think a lot of us would love to pass the K-12 budget. We will pass the K-12 budget this session earlier than any session probably in my lifetime, certainly in my memory. But to vote on one today, especially in light of the Ways and Means hearings that are coming, seems extraordinarily premature. I would urge a no vote on this motion.
Further discussion? Representative Dallum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And if I may, to the motion.
To the motion.
The clock starts today in districts across the state. I called our district in the Dalles, Wasco County, and on April 4th, the new budget committee members will be briefed on the process. On April 17th, the superintendent must present the budget. He now has some choices, and I have been faced with those choices. I had a guidance counselor that if I guessed under what we would get, he would lose his job. If I guessed over what we would get, he would lose his job. If I guessed under, we would keep him, but I felt obligated, and I made trips down to the high school every day on the status of the budget in the Oregon legislature in the 2003 session. So the importance of the bill is not for the people in this building. The importance for the bill is for the budget process that is starting across the state of Oregon, the first of April. That's the reason for the that I ask you to support the motion and HJR 21.
I'd like to remind everybody, given we have several other people who are going to be speaking to this, that this is about the merits of today. Discussion of the budget is not about the merits of the timing to bring it out today, and so please try to keep in mind the germaneness as you additional people speak to the bill or to the motion. Representative Flores.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the motion.
To the motion.
Thank you. I would just like to give you some comments as to why House Joint Resolution 21 is very appropriate to be considered today. I do not want to give you ancient history, but I would like to give you a reference to some very recent history. And I will cite for you some comments from some recent history on the 81st day of last session, March 31st, 2005. Quoting, first, school districts cannot wait any longer. It is crucial that we vote on financial support for public schools now because school districts are planning their budgets now. Every district needs to know just how much money the legislature will make available for the coming two-year budget cycle. It's just that simple.
Just a moment. Point of personal privilege, Representative Buckley.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm chair of the Education Committee. As far as I understand, House Joint Resolution 21 does not contain the education budget. Therefore, comments concerning the content of the education budget are not germane. In addition, House Joint Resolution 21 does not impact the 2007 budget, since it would have to be voted on by the people as a constitutional amendment. Discussion of the content and the timing of this year's school budget is not germane to this motion.
Stand at ease. This point is correct, that this resolution does not contain the budget, and discussion of the merits of the budget are not in germane to this motion.
Mr. Chair, I would cite the summary of the House Joint Resolution 21, which does propose an amendment to the Oregon Constitution to require the Legislative Assembly to pass a bill funding the state's kindergarten system of kindergarten through grade 12 public education by the 81st day of the regular session. In that context, I would suggest that having the discussion about this particular funding of the state's education system, grades K through 12, is relevant.
As soon as the bill is before us, if this body chooses to bring it from committee, then those comments would be completely in order to the merits of the bill. But this discussion is about and limited to, under our rules, to the issue of the timing of discussing it today. It is a fine line, but I'm going to try to cleave to the tradition and to the rules. So your point must be about withdrawal from the committee and the timing of why today is the day.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is very relevant to discuss the pulling of House Joint Resolution 21 from committee to this floor to discuss the funding of K through 12 education, because we have talked about, and again quoting members of this body, in our campaigns, legislative candidates pledged to fund schools first. This resolution talks about putting schools up to by the 81st day of the legislature.
Representative, it is not appropriate to speak to what others have promised. It's appropriate to speak to what you might have promised and how it bears on the timing of today's resolution to be appropriate, but you cannot attribute to others what they would say. And again, it needs to be about the motion to withdraw, not going to the substance of the actual resolution or the merits.
It is appropriate to discuss this motion and to bring HJR 21 to the floor by virtue of the fact that this is the 81st day. This is what this resolution talks about, funding kids first. Everyone in their campaigns addressed that, as I did. We need to support this motion. Thank you.
Representative Buckley, you rise to point of privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The point has been continuously made. House Joint Resolution 21 does not contain the education budget. It would not impact the 2007-2009 K-12 budget. So arguments, in my view, must be kept to why it needs to be brought to the floor today. And since this is not going to be voted on by the people of the state of Oregon, if it should pass, until a general election, these arguments are not germane.
President Buckley, you are also in the queue for speaking to the bill or asking questions of the carrier. I now recognize you to the motion, only to the motion and not to the resolution. So you're now recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have some questions for the carrier of the motion, if the carrier would be so kind.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
He does.
Good colleague, as chair of the Education Committee, I don't recall you coming to me to ask for a hearing on this bill. I tried to be very open. In fact, I keep my office door open almost every hour that I'm here. Was there some sort of problem with not being able to talk to me about having a hearing on this bill?
Mr. Speaker, that's a very difficult question for a chair of a committee to say to a member of the body, why didn't you come and have me hear a really good bill? And so I really have no answer for that question.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Follow, please.
Follow up. Do you yield?
Yes.
Good colleague, given the fact that House Joint Resolution 21, let me ask the question this way. If we were to bring House Joint Resolution 21 to the floor and vote on it today, when would the people of the state of Oregon be voting on whether they agree with the content of House General Joint Resolution 21?
Mr. Chair, that's a very difficult, I mean, it's an easy question to answer, but it's a question that you, that the good representative answered in his previous comment, which is the next general election. So I certainly would agree with the statement that he made previously, that that's when it would take place.
Follow up, please.
Follow up. Do you yield?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Good representative. Can I ask then, does it make a difference in terms of the vote in that general election if House Joint Resolution 21 is heard today, or would it make any difference when that vote by the people would be held if House Joint Resolution 21 was heard in committee next week or on the floor later in April? Would there be any difference at all in terms of the voting of the people of the state of Oregon on this resolution?
I understand the question now completely. Thank you. It doesn't determine when it will be heard because the bill is going to be voted on, of course, by the people in the next general election. But what it does is it tells the people symbolically that today, the 81st day of this session, we voted on a bill that says from now on, this will be the day every session that they will have their budget.
Thank you. One final question, please.
A final question to you.
Yes.
He does.
Thank you, good representative. Can I ask, given the fact that the Ways and Means Committee is going to go on the road with hearings about budgets, et cetera, all through the state, including to our home county of Jackson County, don't you think it might be better to let the public comment on the content of education budget rather than trying to frame the issue on the timing of the education budget?
Mr. Chair, I have difficulty answering that as well because now we're talking about this budget, and I thought we weren't supposed to talk about this budget, but nevertheless, I'm happy to say that this budget, as you recall, deals with future legislatures, and so certainly we would want to pass future educational budgets on the 81st day, and the road trip that the Ways and Means Committee are going to take, that'll be talking, of course, about this session's budget, and we can't discuss that now.
Thank you. Good call. To the motion.
Yes, and I will remind folks that this questions or comments related to this budget or to the substance of this resolution are not germane to the question of it coming out on the 81st day. You are speaking now to the motion.
To the motion. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to my colleague from Jackson County. Quite simply, this motion is not necessary. As I mentioned, we could vote on this resolution at any time during this session, should we choose to do so, and would have absolutely no impact on the ability of the voters of Oregon to express their view on this resolution. And personally, I'm much more interested in content than symbolism. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further discussion of the motion? Seeing none, Representative Richardson, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For us to honor this motion and bring House Joint Resolution 21 to the floor today will give a symbolic message to the citizens of Oregon that we care about the budget, that we care about education being funded first, and that we care enough to pass this message today. And so we'd like to, I'd like to close, but with all due respect, I'd like to also ask for a call of the House.
Representative Richardson asks for a call of the House. He is joined in that request by Representative Hanna, Representative Flores, Representative David Edwards, Representative Paul Hovey, and Representative Jerry Krummel. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, the sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Dingfelder Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Garrard Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hanna, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Krummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Dingfelder, Garrard, excused, Boone, Esquivel, Minnis.
All members are present. Those of the opinion that HJR 21 should be withdrawn from the Committee on Education will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Lim, how do you vote? Lim votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Representative Jensen votes aye. The motion, having failed to receive the required majority, is declared failed. We are still under propositions and motions. Representative Crummell.
Mr. Speaker, can I request to go back to courtesies?
Representative Crummell, request unanimous consent to return to courtesies without objection. Please go ahead.
Colleagues, I would like to introduce you and extend courtesies to Mr. Dave Smith of Wilsonville. He's a constituent of mine and actually is a goes to the same church I do. He's retired from healthcare consulting profession and is currently active in philanthropic work. He is married and has four. He has a four-year-old daughter and triplet boys aged 18 months. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Are there further courtesies? We are back in propositions and motions. Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that House Bill 5020 be withdrawn from the Committee on Ways and Means and the rules be suspended and the co-chair's amount of $6.245 billion be conceptually inserted into the bill.
Representative, you have combined two motions, of which is inappropriate. You would need to first make your motion to withdraw the bill from committee. You feel free to restate your motion if you would like to do so.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In that case, I move that the rules be suspended and House Bill 5020 be withdrawn from the Committee on Ways and Means and the co-chair's amount of $6.245 be inserted.
House will stand at ease.
So what we have to do, and what the ruling is going to do is
that's what the ruling is right here. And I'll be concerned. Right. Exactly. Exactly. I knew that. You know, being a dentist, you probably know what bated breath is, but I've never quite figured it out. What is bated breath? Is it breath that smells like bait?
Bated, I think, means out of breath. So it's sort of like...
Out of breath? I'm going to be out of breath.
House will come back to order. Colleagues, when we went at ease, Representative Crummell had the floor for purposes of presenting a motion. Representative Crummell, please go ahead and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of combining two motions, the motion to withdraw House Bill 5020 from the Committee on Ways and Means and to amend the bill to reflect total general fund and lottery fund expenditures of $6.245 billion.
Representative Crummell moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of combining two motions, the motion to withdraw House Bill 5020 from the Committee on Ways and Means and a motion to amend the bill to reflect total general fund and lottery fund expenditures of $6.245 billion. The motion is not debatable. It takes 40 affirmative votes. The call of the House. Representative Hunt is requested to call the House. He is joined by Representative Crummell, Representative Rosenbaum, Representative Greenlick, Representative Morgan, Representative Gilman. Sergeant of Arms. We need to we have to go ahead and proceed once it's been stated. The doorkeepers bar the doors. Sergeant Arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Boquist Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Burley Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Dingfelder Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Flores. Flores Galizio. Gerard. Gelser. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlick. Hannah. Holvey. Hunt. Jensen. Comp. Kotek. Krieger. Crummel. Lim. McPherson. Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Olson Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Shields Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnet. Wisnet Witt. Mr. Speaker. Not answering. Boquist. Burley. Dingfelder. Flores. Olson. Excused, not subject to the call. 3. Boone, Esquivel, Minnis.
Representative Hunt, for what purpose do you rise?
I move to dispense with the call.
Representative Hunt moves to dispense with further proceedings under the call. This will not suspend the call, but direct the Sergeant-at-Arms to cease looking for absent members. The House will remain under the call until a vote is taken on the motion pending before the House. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We are now voting on the motion to suspend the rules to combine two motions. Those who are in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Gilliam votes aye. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Representative Burley is off the floor. The motion to suspend the rules to combine the motion to withdraw and the motion to amend has not received the required majority and has failed. Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the rules be suspended in order that House Bill 2372 be voted on immediately.
Representative Rosenbaum moves the rules be suspended so that House Bill 2372 can be voted on immediately. To your motion. Oh, this is not a debatable motion. Those who are of the opinion the motion should be adopted will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barker, how do you vote? Barker votes aye. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Representative Burley is off the floor. Representative Dallum, we got you. And that's everyone. This is a motion that requires two-thirds. So the motion to suspend the rules, having failed to receive the required two-thirds, is declared failed. We are under propositions and motions. And we are going to proceed. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 3533 relating to health care for children declaring an emergency. House Bill 3535 relating to state financial administrative of the Department of State Police appropriate money declaring an emergency.
Bills read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2223 relating to coverage of successor employees by Oregon Safe Employment Act. House Bill 2233 relating to liens on tax deferred property. House Bill 2823 relating to interment camps. House Bill 2970 relating to wildlife violator compact.
Bills read second time or passed the third reading. Consent calendar. Clerk will read the bill in short summary.
House Bill 2176 relating to medical termination of eligibility for license to operate motor vehicle. Establishes responsibility of medical determination officer of Department of Transportation to issue determination of eligibility to operate motor vehicle by persons with certain impairments.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2176A. Those are opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barnhart, for what purpose do you rise?
If that's what we're voting on, fine. But if it's something else, it should be stated on the board.
Stand at ease. We'll get the right bill up on the board. It is House Bill 2176A. We're going to clear the voting system and redo the vote. We are voting on House Bill 2176A under the consent calendar. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Boquist, how do you vote? Boquist is aye. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Representative Berger is excused for business. Representative Rosenbaum, how do you vote? Aye. Rosenbaum votes aye. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Representative Burley is off the floor. House Bill 2176A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. Representative Rosenbaum, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe some members may not have been clear about my earlier motion. I again move that the rules be suspended in order that the breastfeeding House Bill 2372 be voted on immediately.
Representative Rosenbaum moves that the rules be suspended so that House Bill 2372A can be voted on immediately. This is not debatable. It requires a two-thirds majority. Stand at ease. Representative Scott, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request a recess for the purpose of a Republican caucus.
Representative Scott has requested a recess for purpose of a Republican caucus. Is there objection? Is there objection? There is an objection. This requires a majority vote. Those who are of the opinion that to grant the request for the Republican caucus for how many minutes, Representative Scott? For 5 minutes, we'll say we'll vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative McPherson, how do you vote? McPherson votes aye. Representative Richardson, how do you vote? Representative Richardson, how do you vote? Representative Richardson is excused. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Representative Gilliam is off the floor. Representative Boquist, how do you vote? Representative Boquist is off the floor. Representative McPherson, how do you vote? McPherson votes aye. The motion, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. He said 5 minutes. We're in recess for 5 minutes for purposes of the caucus.
Fire. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Buckley Burley. Butler. Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Cowan Dallum, Dingfelder, Dingfelder Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Garrard Gelser, Gelser Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Gerard Greenlick, Greenlick Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Jensen Comp, Kotek, Kotek Krieger, Crummel, Lim, Lim McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Roblin Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Patty Smith Thatcher, Tomei, Tomei Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Buckley, Cowan, Dingfelder, Sherrod, Greenlick, Jensen, Kotek, Patty Smith, Tomei, excused, Boone, Esquivel, Minnis, Richardson. I got you.
A quorum is present. When we went to recess, we had a motion on the floor. Everyone can have your attention, please. Please carry your conversations outside the chamber. We had a motion on the floor, and that motion was to suspend the rules for the purposes of bringing House Bill 2372 for immediate consideration. Those who are of the opinion that they are in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Greenluck, how do you vote? Representative Greenluck is off the floor. The motion, having failed to receive the required two-thirds, is failed. Clerk will read the first bill.
House Bill 2255, relating to employment discrimination based on employee taking wage-related actions.
Question now arises on third reading and final consideration of House Bill 2255. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2255 clarifies employers' responsibilities and employees' rights when an employee alleges retaliation for exercising his or her wage-related rights. Excuse me. Current law provides a whistleblower-type remedy for certain types of retaliation if there happens to be a criminal penalty associated with the wage-related right that the employee asserted. Current statute prohibits employers from discriminating against employees because the employee has made a wage claim or discussed, inquired, or consulted an attorney or agency about a wage claim, or if the employee has caused to be has testified or is about to testify in any proceedings under or related to a bunch of statutes that I have written down here. There is only a court remedy for those discriminated against under statute. The remedy is actual out-of-pocket damages or $200, whichever is greater. There is no administrative remedy through the Bureau of Labor and Industry or any other agency. Current statute prohibits employers from discriminating against an employee because the employee has made complaint that the employee has not been paid wages in accordance with statute, which includes minimum wage, employment conditions, including rest and meal periods. The employee has or is about to cause to be instituted or has about to testify in any proceedings under or related to Oregon statute. There is no court or administrative remedy for these those discriminated under statute. As there is no specific provision for the BOLI wage and hour division to pursue remedies on behalf of persons complaining of discrimination or retaliation in violation of statute, wage and hour currently refers alleged violations to the Bureau of Labor and Industry Civil Rights Division, which investigates to determine whether the alleged violation can be made fit under other whistleblower statute under the Civil Rights Division's jurisdiction. House Bill 225 would amend ORS 652.355 and .060 to make violations of those statutes unlawful employment practices subject to the enforcement provisions of the civil rights statutes of ORS Chapter 659A. This is a much simpler enforcement scheme for complaints, employers, and the agencies to track and work with. I think the last sentence actually sums it up very nicely. I urge your vote. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Thatcher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
You know, colleagues, nobody in this room believes that an employee should be discriminated against for reporting violations of working conditions or violations of wages or violations of overtime. We don't want to see retaliation. But first, we need to improve tort law and quit giving more incentives to those who are looking to abuse the system. We need to protect employers from frivolous claims and not create more incentives for disgruntled employees to wreak havoc on employers. Once an employer is caught in the crosshairs of a discrimination claim or a retaliation claim, the employer will spend thousands of dollars on attorneys and staff so they can defend themselves, thousands to settle sometimes, or if they want to defend themselves in court fully, it'll cost tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. Let's put some more balance in the system. This bill does not get us there. Nobody wants to see an employee get abused by an unscrupulous employer. But I would also add that we should not keep perpetuating a system that ends up abusing Oregon employers. Thanks.
Further discussion? Seeing none. Representative Schaffler, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
He does not. Those with opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Greenlick, how do you vote? Representative Greenlick is excused for business. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Representative Jensen votes aye. House Bill 2255, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2311, relating to interest on criminal judgments and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2311A. Representative McPherson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2311 deals with interest on criminal judgments, and it also deals with court facilities, but only in the negative. The courthouses in this state are in poor shape. About 25 years ago, there was an arrangement made between the counties and the state under which the operating costs of our courts would be taken over by the state, but the facilities costs would remain.
Representative Nelson, you're in the privilege queue. For what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, I'll wait till this we've completed the vote on this bill.
Thank you. Please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That under that arrangement made a quarter century ago, the courthouses are supposed to be maintained by the counties. The problem is that our counties are not in a position financially to do that effectively, and you can see the evidence of it if you visit any of the major courthouses in the state, in Multnomah County and Clackamas County, a couple of the counties in which my district lies, and as well some of the other more rural counties in the state. An idea came forward a while back, several sessions ago, that we should take the interest on criminal judgments to pay for court facilities, but it really has not worked. It hasn't worked because the judicial department has not been capable of calculating interest effectively on criminal judgments, and so, in fact, they have not been collecting that interest. And even if they did, it would not be sufficient in amount because it wouldn't generate nearly enough to deal with the deferred maintenance issues and reconstruction issues that challenge our courthouses. So what this bill would do is it would remove the interest on criminal judgments from a court facilities account and would instead put it into the criminal injuries compensation account if it's a state court, or into the local general fund if it's a municipal court. The bill would simplify the calculation of interest. Instead of being 12.5% interest for the first several years, dropping to 4% interest, which was a configuration that we adopted a session ago in order to solve the need the counties had to, or the judicial department had in order to be able to calculate interest, it would replace that with a flat 9%, which is the standard statutory rate on all judgments. But it would cut that off at 20 years, which really is relevant primarily to restitution judgments, which we extended to 50 years. So it means that a criminal offender wouldn't have interest continuing to accumulate at 9% over a 50-year period, at which point the interest component would be much more significant than the principal. This bill would also change the rule on how interest payments are credited, so they're credited first to principal and then to interest, which is the reverse of what is standard practice for most financial calculations. This bill is a good bill because it simplifies the process of calculating interest sends it to a place where the money will actually be meaningful once it can be calculated and goes to a good cause, which is primarily the assistance for victims. It does not solve, of course, the problem of our court facilities, which remain an ongoing issue for our state. There is other legislation to propose funding sources for reconstructing the our deplorable courthouses. At least several of our counties are in really poor shape. We have not rebuilt a courthouse, aside from a couple of odd instances, for many years. Most recently, the Marion County got rebuilt and renovated because there was somebody who decided to drive up the front steps and set it on fire. A few years before that, the Klamath County Courthouse was renovated because of an earthquake. But aside from those events, we have not attended to our court facilities. So while I urge an aye vote on House Bill 2311, I also urge you to pay attention to the funding sources that will be brought forward to deal with court facilities issues. Thank you very much.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative McPherson, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of opinion the bill should pass, vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Kotek votes aye. Representative Barker, how do you vote?
Aye.
Votes aye. Representative Clem votes aye. Representative Shields? Representative Shields, how do you vote? Representative Shields is off the floor. House Bill 2311A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Nelson, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move this House of Representatives adjourn until Monday, April the 2nd at 10 a.m., please.
Stand at ease. Representative Nelson, can you restate the time that you wish to adjourn to?
Yes, sir, until 10 a.m. Monday, April the 2nd.
Representative Nelson moves that the House adjourn until call of the House. Representative Hunt is going to call the House. He's joined by Representative Greenlick, Representative Buckley, Representative Edwards, Representative Barker, and Representative Flores. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. Sergeant Arms at 10, and clerk will call the roll. Barker, Barnhart, Barnhart Berger, Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Barnhart, Gerard, Riley, excuse not subject to the call, Four, Boone, Esquivel, Minnis, Richardson, all members are present. Representative Nelson made the motion to adjourn until 10 a.m. Monday, April 2nd. It is not a debatable motion. It takes a majority of those present. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. The motion, having failed to receive the required majority of those present, fails. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 2371, relating to emergency plans that provide for safety of persons receiving services from certain facilities when faced with threat of imminent danger.
Question now arises upon third reading and final consideration of House Bill 2371. Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2371 comes to you from the Joint Committee on Emergency Preparedness and Ocean Policy, where it passed with the unanimous support of the members present. Apparently, because I was excused for that vote, I am now assigned to report the bill to you. However, as a representative of a district that finds weather-related emergencies a part of our normal winter routine, I am very supportive of this bill. It will require facilities and homes licensed or certified by the Department of Human Services, including adult foster homes, health care facilities, residential facilities, and child care facilities, to adopt a plan to provide for the safety of persons receiving care in the event of an emergency that poses a threat to life, health, or safety of the persons receiving care. Many of these settings are already required to develop extensive emergency plans under both the state fire marshal and departmental regulations. However, the standards across the different settings are inconsistent and inconsistently applied. Lessons learned from other states and the review of disaster plans at certain health care facilities in this state validates the need for improved oversight. House Bill 2371 will give the Department of Human Services the rulemaking authority to ensure that facilities have workable plans and trained personnel in place and ready to respond to the emergent situations we all know will happen. We just don't know when. I urge your support.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Callan, do you wish to close? She does not. Those are opinion, bill should pass. Vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barnhart, how do you vote? Representative Barnhart is excused. Representative Galizio, how do you vote? Representative Galizio. Representative Galizio is off the floor. Representative Nolan. Representative Nolan is excused for business of the House. Representative Krieger. Krieger votes no. Representative Crummell, how do you vote? Crummell votes no. Representative Patty Smith, how do you vote? Representative Patty Smith was off the floor. Thank you for that clarification. Appreciate it. Representative Riley. Riley votes aye. House Bill 2371, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2438, relating to vehicle dealers.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2438A. Representative Shuffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2438A modifies information that is included on a disclosure form for a vehicle that is being sold on consignment. The current version of the disclosure form not only notifies that the vehicle was consigned to the dealer, but also lists information relating to the person or business that consigned the vehicle and the name of the financial institution that has a lien on the vehicle, if that applies to the vehicle being sold. The new version of the disclosure form proposed under House Bill 2438A states that the vehicle is being sold on consignment and indicates whether or not there is a security interest in the vehicle, but it does not include personal information about the vehicle's previous owner or the frame or the name of the financial institution which holds the security interest. House Bill 2438A was proposed as a balance between privacy rights of the vehicle's previous owner or owners and the rights of the consumer to know about the vehicle's history. The rationale behind changing the disclosure form is similar to the evolution of information that is included on a vehicle title. In the past, the back of a title listed every previous owner's name and address, but due to privacy concerns, the current title form only lists the last previous owner's information. A vehicle's history can still be accessed through other means, such as researching the vehicle identification or VIN number, which is often more objective than directly contacting the vehicle's previous owner. The measure has the support from trade associations involved in the automobile industry, as well as the Driver and Motor Vehicle Services Division. Good bill. I urge your vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Schaffler, do you wish to close?
Only that this is a really good consumer bill, and it protects everyone's privacy. And people in the past could have purchased one of these vehicles, and then they find out that there's a loan on it that wasn't disclosed to them. Now everybody's out money. Everybody's having a problem. The consumers are, and the bankers and the auto dealers themselves are confused, and it just brings clarity to that process. And it's a great bill, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Those are our opinion. The bill should pass. We'll vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Hannah, how do you vote? Representative Hannah? Representative Hannah is off the floor. Representative Greenlick, how do you vote? Representative Greenlick is off the floor. Representative Boquist, how do you vote? Representative Boquist is off the floor. Representative Gilman, how do you vote? Gilman votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Representative Richardson votes aye. Representative Krummel is off the floor. Representative, is that everyone? House Bill 2438A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2567, relating tires with retractable studs.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2567A. Representative Gilman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Request use of a visual aid.
Representative Gilman requests unanimous consent for use of a visual aid. Is there objection? Hearing none, please go ahead.
Thank you. I'm holding up a portion of a tire. I've hauled this tire back and forth to the floor about 3 days now, and I left it in my office today. But this gives you an idea of what we're talking about. This tire is designed by Michael Bryan from Tualatin. And it has retractable studs. The air inside the tire, when you flip a switch up on your dashboard, will inflate these little cylinders that will cause the studs to rise up nearly to the height of the track of the height of the tire. Right now, it's not something that we can use on Oregon highways except between November 1st and April 1st because the retractable studs, they won't harm the road, and the measure allows the tire to be used year-round if a person would like to. The tire has been approved by Oregon Department U.S. Department of Transportation for safety. It's doing fleet testing in Ohio right now, and I really think we'll have a tire on the market by fall of this year, but I won't guarantee that. It's a wonderful device, costs you about 40% more than a regular tire, but you wouldn't be changing them all the time. The Transportation Committee voted this out with a unanimous aye vote, and I recommend the same.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Gilman, do you wish to close?
Good bill should pass.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Representative Patty Smith, how do you vote? Patty Smith votes aye. Representative McPherson votes aye. Representative Wisnett votes aye. Representative Krieger, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Crummell, how do you vote? Representative Crummell is off the floor. Representative Hanna, how do you vote? Representative Hanna is off the floor. House Bill 2567A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2744, relating to alcoholic beverages.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2744. Representative Flores.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I think we can all appreciate the value of having a citizen legislature, and today I'm proud to support a great idea brought forward by a couple of constituents of mine from Clackamas. Susan and Jim McLaren wanted to start up a small business in Oregon, but there was a small snag in our current laws that prevented them from doing so. And they said there ought to be a law. And we've all heard that line before. So they blasted off an email to their state legislator, that would be me, and 5 months later, here we are about to pass or move along in the process in Oregon to help make the McLaren small business dream come true. It's really simple. The McLarens wanted to open up a small shop to teach people how to make their own wine. And it sounds like fun, don't you think? Oregon law currently only allows do-it-yourself beer, not do-it-yourself wine. Anyone with a brew pub or brewery license can start a business to show beer lovers how to cook up their own brews under the supervision of the company staff. And, of course, this beer is only for personal consumption. If you're a wine connoisseur, you can take classes, but you can't do any of the fun winemaking stuff like adding all the ingredients, adjusting the fermentation process, and so on, unless it's in your own house, and once again, only for personal consumption. Back to the McLarens. They wanted to open a You Wine It, just like a You Brew It operation. They hope to run a franchise in Oregon that's part of an international company. They provide all the materials for make-it-yourself wines in the store. There are already similar franchises in Texas, Colorado, California, and soon in Washington State. With Oregon's great wine industry, this cottage industry seems like a perfect fit. House Bill 2744 simply adds a couple of sentences to Oregon statute to give wine lovers the same privileges as beer lovers. This bill did pass out of committee with a unanimous vote, and I heard it from the chair's mouth, good representative from Happy Valley, that he hopes they open that You Wine It shop very soon. I urge your support.
Further discussion, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill?
To the bill.
My friends on our Business and Labor Committee, there are the beer drinkers and the wine drinkers, but we are agreed on this bill. It's a good bill. It supports our wine industry. It's a novel entrepreneurial idea. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Flores, do you wish to close?
Very briefly, Mr. Speaker,
please.
And thank you. A few thoughts to ponder in regard to the good winemaking process. After wine, out comes the truth. Wine is a little like love. When the right one comes along, you know it. Water for oxen, wine for kings. Wine should be taken in small doses, knowledge in larger ones. And finally, we make no wine before it's time. Now's the time, and I urge your support for House Bill 2744. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Representative Roblin? Representative Roblin is off the floor. Representative Crummell, how do you vote? Representative Crummell is off the floor. House Bill 2744, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2773, relating to task force on school nurses and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2773. Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, good afternoon. Rise today in support of House Bill 2773. This bill creates an eight-member task force, a time-limited task force, that will study and assess the availability of nursing services in Oregon schools and the feasibility of expanding existing services. If you would all take a moment to think back to your school nurse when you were in school. School nurses have been around since the early part of the 1900s. I recall seeing my school nurse often. Unfortunately, today there aren't enough school nurses in our schools, but we don't really know the extent of the gap in our services. And what this task force would do is convene some experts with the direction of the Department of Education and look at the existing school nursing services around the state and propose a plan for strengthening those services. National standards say there should be one nurse for every 750 students. We don't know what our ratio here is in the state, and this task force would look into that, come back in the interim, and provide a report to say how we can look at expanding our school nurses if that seems to be the right path to take. School nurses keep our kids healthy, our schools healthy, and connect students to very important health services in the community. I urge your aye vote on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Kotek, do you wish to close?
No, I don't. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those are opinion the bill should pass, will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Holvey votes aye. Representative Butler, how do you vote? Butler votes aye. Representative McPherson votes aye. Representative Butler votes no. Representative Crummell, how do you vote? Representative Crummell is off the floor. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? Representative Wisnett? Representative Wisnett is off the floor. Speaker votes aye. Representative Butler, I just want to make sure we recorded you accurately. That was a no vote. House Bill 2773, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, will read the next bill.
House Bill 2023, relating to property tax benefits for military personnel, prescribing an effective date.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2023A. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2023A clarifies existing law that provides an exemption of $60,000 on the homestead property of qualified National Guard members and reservists. Current statutes grant a property tax exemption to our servicemen and women if they begin their 178-plus days of service under the governor's command and their duty subsequently changes to service under the President of the United States within a given year. This current arrangement prevents our service personnel from qualifying for their homestead exemption under either of two prevalent scenarios. First, their service never begins under the command of our governor, or secondly, they do not have 178 days of service in a given tax year. House Bill 2023 addresses both of these seemingly unintended impediments to the homestead exemption. First, by qualifying guard and reserve duty that begins under the command of the president, and secondly, by specifying that at least one day of the required 178 days of service must fall within the tax year for which the exemption is claimed. House Bill 2023 makes these provisions retroactive to 2005, the year in which the legislature enacted the $60,000 homestead exemption for our service personnel.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Witt, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Buckley, how do you vote? Representative Buckley votes aye. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Roblin votes aye. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Gelser votes aye. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? Representative Wisnett? Representative Wisnett is off the floor. Representative Crummell, how do you vote? Representative Crummell is off the floor. Representative Maurer, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, I need to declare a conflict.
Please go ahead and state your conflict for the record.
I was activated and served in the reserve status on active duty during the tax year 2005.
Your potential conflict is noted for the record. House Bill 2023A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, will read the next bill.
House Bill 2297, relating to speed in residence districts.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2297A. Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, today we bring to you House Bill 2297A that comes to you with unanimous support from your House Transportation Committee. House Bill 2297 defines the term narrow residential roadway to mean a two-way road that is located in a residential district and is not more than 18 feet wide, and it establishes a speed limit of 15 miles per hour for these narrow residential roadways. This bill addresses concerns that have been raised by constituents across the state regarding speeding in residential areas. In my district and in many areas of the state, we have some very narrow roads, and currently these residential roads fall under the 25 mile per hour residential speed limit, which is too fast in these narrow roads. Colleagues, this is an issue of safety. These roads are just too narrow to support a 25 mile per hour speed limit. Often there is no curb and no paved shoulder. Pedestrians have no safe place to scurry out of the way of passing cars. By slowing traffic on these narrow streets, we protect our children, pedestrians, bicyclists, dog walkers, and others from oncoming traffic. During the committee process, we worked with transportation experts from cities and counties on the precise definition of narrow residential roadway. This bill received a unanimous, I repeat, unanimous, do pass recommendation from committee members, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Butler.
Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I want to first of all express and acknowledge my gratitude to Representative Tomei for working this bill and the concerns that had been brought by a number of folks, some folks from cities and so forth. She was very anxious to make those necessary changes in the bill to make sure that it did not create any difficulty. We worked with the Department of Transportation to make sure that it goes into effect after they publish their next driving manual, so that all of the information, the correct information, will be in the driving manual. It also affects, as she mentioned in her very good testimony, that it affects some rural parts of our state where we do have some narrow roadways, and to the extent that those roadways are serving a lot of residences on either side of them, many times those roads don't have the capacity to carry a vehicle much more than 15 miles an hour. But it is a safety bill. We have to talk about some common sense kinds of things. This is an excellent bill that really addresses some of those common sense kinds of things, and I would encourage everyone's aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Boquist.
Question to Carrier, with my apologies.
Question to the Carrier. Does Carrier yield?
I accept your apologies and I yield.
She does.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I apologize for not catching it. Was it discussed in committee, the width, the fire truck and fire district widths? I was just trying to recollect the minimum required widths for operation of fire apparatus in our land use planning.
It was not discussed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Burley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question to the Carrier.
Question to the Carrier. Does Carrier yield?
The Carrier not only yields but respects the good representative for giving me his questions ahead of time. Thank you so much.
She does yield.
Thank you. And I'm not going to go through. I had four of them, but the one that I'm particularly interested in is, you know, does this only apply inside a city limit or inside an urban growth boundary? Because we've got Sun River and Black Butte and some of these unincorporated areas. How does that work?
No, it does not apply just to within city limits.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for asking your questions, as I said, ahead of time. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Tomati, wish to close?
I just want to say again, good bill should pass. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Bruin, how do you vote? Bruin votes aye. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Olson votes no. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. House Bill 2297A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 2071, relating to fees assessed for boat permits.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2071A. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You're very welcome.
Representative Kotek had me involved in something I really passionately feel strongly about in our medical community. Thank you very much. And this House Bill 2071 deals with the fees that we pay for the Marine Board, particularly the boat permits, issuing boat permits. The Marine Board came before the House Transportation Committee to seek a very modest increase in the service charges, which are paid to private persons for their private enterprise work in selling and issuing these Oregon boat permits. And as we considered and looked at that issue, they were very proud that there hadn't been any increases in these boat permits since 1975, and I said, now wait a minute, these aren't permits that go to the state, these are the private industry. This is private industry's permit. This is their share for selling boat permits. They sell, you know, an authorized agent averages just under 500 of these boat permits per year, and the paperwork and time and energy, they were getting a buck a piece for them, and there was a very modest increase proposed. Well, costs have certainly gone up much faster, and we admonish the Marine Board for not getting this done more frequently, that really private industry deserves to have an opportunity to have its rates increased for their actual transaction cost increase. And so what this bill does is this moves up that transaction cost immediately to $2.50. Now, the testimony was that the actual CPI cost on these that private industry should be gaining should be $3.75 today. And we felt like that that may be a little much, so we went ahead and moved it to $2.50 from 2008 through 2010, and then we did move it up to the $3.75 from 2011 through 2013. And then we asked the Marine Board to please be a little more responsible in taking care of its local agents, those are their partners, and our partners too, for those of us who use these boat permits, and go ahead then and on an indexing basis every 3 years to go ahead and give them their cost of increase based upon the CPI for the Portland, Salem, Oregon, Washington Consumer Price Index. Now, this is a reasonable bill which basically addresses the cost in private industry. You're voting on an increase today in a fee, but the fee belongs in private enterprise, and it belongs in those people whose costs have gone up by this amount, and I would encourage your aye vote. Thank you very much.
Further discussion? Representative Butler, do you wish to close? He does not. Those are the opinion that House Bill 2071A should pass. We'll vote aye. Those opposed, nay. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Richardson, how do you vote? Richardson votes aye. Representative Hanna, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative McPherson, how do you vote? Representative McPherson is off the floor. Representative Lim votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. House Bill 2071A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 2372, relating to breastfeeding.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2372A. Representative Berger.
Thank you. Colleagues, House Bill 2372 comes to you from your Women's Wellness Committee. I'm being coached. And I'm a very proud sponsor of this bill. And I'm particularly honored that it passed unanimously out of this committee. This bill asks for an accommodation in the workplace for a small but very special subset of our working population. That would be nursing mothers. Colleagues, my co-carrier, who is on the committee, can and will describe for you the particulars of the bill, but let me tell you why I support this bill and why I'm asking you to. This bill, simply put, asks for an accommodation in the workplace which allows nursing mothers a place and a time where she can express milk for use by her baby or to be thrown away, it doesn't matter,
But it doesn't, as I've heard, ask for the babies to be brought into the workplace. Let me explain why this and why now. First, the science is clear and undisputed. Breast milk is the best food for human babies, and it has long-term positive health benefits for both the baby and the mother. Second, in our modern world, it is a very special, very privileged young mother who has an option not to work when her baby is young. Mothers in today's expensive world work, even when they have very young babies. Breastfeeding may seem simple to those who haven't done it, but I can assure you that it is hard to establish and hard to maintain. It takes an incredibly special commitment in today's hectic environment, and nothing in the modern workplace really supports it. Third, there has been a major technological change since my babies were young that has positively helped women. This is the development of the modern electric breast pump. I won't go into details and make you squirm. But let me tell you, using this technology allows mothers to maintain lactation even when she is separated from her baby during normal work hours. That is a dramatic change. So, we have the baby, we have a committed mother, and we have a breast pump. What else could we need? That's what this bill addresses. It asks simply that a quiet, clean, private, and safe place be provided in the workplace if possible. If possible is important. This bill is about flexibility, not stricture. The most common comment I get about this bill is, and I get it from employers, oh, why a mandate? I do this anyway. Because present company accepted, and everyone I've ever talked to is employer who says we do this anyway, there are employers who will not make this accommodation. And there was plenty of testimony from mothers about employers who would not be helpful. And this presents working mothers with a stressful dilemma: quit nursing, quit working. This is just not a question we should be asking of these young mothers. I defer at this point to my co-carrier, who will talk further about the bill, but I ask you to look at this not as something forced or negative, but as something positive that we can, and a clear statement that we in Oregon can make about how much we value these employees and how much we care about their babies and their lives. Thank you.
Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I may seem like an unlikely candidate to stand before you today and be the co-carrier of House Bill 2372, the Breastfeeding Equity Bill, as I will call it. I'm not sure why I was asked to be the co-carrier of this bill by my esteemed colleague from Milwaukee and Southeast Portland. Maybe it's because I'm the father of four beautiful breastfed children. Maybe it's because I can say without embarrassment or blushing the word breastfeeding. Or maybe it's because I'm the tallest, darkest, most handsome of three gentlemen sitting on the Human Services and Women's Wellness Committee. Okay, two out of three isn't bad. When this bill was first heard in committee, I was, to say the least, skeptical. I mean, come on, folks, another mandate on business. I was skeptical that this bill was going to allow business enough flexibility in implementing this new unfunded government mandate. And as this bill was originally proposed, it was not reasonable on its demands on business, and it did not leave much discretion to state regulators. So what changed that not only allowed me to vote for this bill, but to stand before you as a co-carrier? Well, it comes down to the 18 amendments that were considered to get you the product we have today. And let me summarize what we changed for the betterment of this piece of legislation. It limits the expression of breast milk for the purpose of nourishing the mother's own child, thus avoiding the highly controversial wet nurse issue. It excludes from collective bargaining the topic of breast milk expression in our public schools, thus protecting mothers from having their statutory rights from being negotiated away. It requires employees to give reasonable notice to employers of their intent to express breast milk at their place of employment, thus protecting the baby from losing their only opportunity in life to be nourished by their own mother's milk because of the required and necessary due process rights of the employer. It creates a new paragraph in ORS 653, the Minimum Wage Employment Conditions chapter of the ORS, that provides for intentional violations rather than willful violations, thus protecting employers from overzealous state regulators. It allows employers to use only a single factor in claiming undue hardship rather than the original three factors, thus protecting sensitive financial information that a business may not wish to be disclosed under these provisions. And finally, it creates an advisory council to respond to a particular industry's request to address compliance difficulties. Given these changes, I have agreed to move forward that we can move forward on this bill. Let me give you some facts about breastfeeding in Oregon. Over 89% of women start out breastfeeding, and that rate is the highest in the nation. And Oregon leads the nation in exclusive breastfeeding at 6 months, but this rate is a dismal 25%. So why is breastfeeding such an important health consideration? Formula-fed infants are at greater risk of illness, disease, and hospitalization than breastfed infants. The consumption of formula is associated with learning and cognitive deficiencies in children aged 1 through 18. Formula-exposed infants have greater and more severe allergic manifestations than infants not exposed to formula. And the benefits are not only limited to children. Mothers who formula feed have higher rates of disease, including breast and ovarian cancer, anemia, and osteoporosis. Now, this is serious stuff. I guess the bottom line is that the baby needs its mother, and the mother needs the baby. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I'm very pleased to rise in support of House Bill 2372 this afternoon. This is a great bill, one that you can all feel very proud to vote yes on. Not only are there all the benefits that have been previously mentioned, certainly the practical effect of this bill in terms of the health of our babies, the health of their mothers, the fact that people will not have to make a very painful choice between doing what's best for their newborn child or keeping a job, which in most cases people need to work in order to be able to support their families. But this bill has been a long time in coming to us, and in fact we passed a bill last session which started out with very similar language to this bill but ended up doing very little, unfortunately. And we watched the effect of that bill and saw almost no improvement in the rates of continued breastfeeding, so particularly in the first 12 months when it's so important. This bill will finally do something to make it much easier for those new moms. The bill is part of the Women's Health and Wellness package of bills, and there has been wonderful work done by advocates, particularly Diane Garrett and the Nursing Mothers Council, who unfortunately are not here to see the bill hopefully passed today because they had to leave before we got to it. But it is a great bill, one that is family friendly. It's good for babies. It's good for moms. It's ultimately good for all of us. And so I am very proud to be a sponsor, and I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Crummell.
I have a couple of questions, and I don't care which carrier answers them. Will one of them yield?
Question of the carrier. Please specify which carrier you'd like to ask.
How about the representative from Grants Pass?
Representative Maurer, would you take a question?
Yes, I will.
He will.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On page 2 of the bill at lines 7 to 10, It states that the employer shall treat unpaid rest periods used by the employees as paid work time for the purpose of measuring the number of hours the employee works. My question is, how much of a cost is this going to be, not only to the state and to other employers around the state, will this be for to address a human resources payroll expenses to reconfigure software and that sort of thing?
My fellow colleague, I believe the answer to your question is that in the original bill that there was significant heartburn about the language and paid rest periods, and that the business community came to us and recommended this language, and the reason was is the accounting nightmare that would have ensued under the original language was unacceptable, and so that this was the compromise that was reached.
Thank you. Further question?
Further question, Representative Maurer?
Yes.
You yield? He does.
Thank you, Representative. On the same page, starting in lines 33 and then proceeding on through, it specifically calls out school districts. Can you help me understand? I mean, school districts are employers. Can you help me understand why school districts are specifically called out in this bill?
Yes, I can. And that was actually one of my primary concerns in the way the bill was originally worded, is that it would have put an onerous amount of or onerous cost to the state, particularly school districts, in dealing with teachers who wanted to express during the school day. And what we did was we asked the Oregon School Boards Association to come in and address this issue, which they did, and they came up with their own language. The language that you see before you today is the language that was presented to us by the Oregon School Boards Association, and we found that language to be acceptable. And the other piece of this is that the school districts are required to write policies that address this issue. And to be quite honest, we accepted the language that the school board said would be okay for them.
Thank you. That kind of brings up another question.
Further question of the co-carrier. Do you yield?
Yes.
He does.
It states here between at line 36 through 38, each policy must, at a minimum, designate a location at the school facility other than a public restroom or toilet stall in close proximity to the employee's work area for the employee to express milk in private. If a teacher is teaching in room 47 and the closest restroom or place of accommodation for this is room 32, is that going to be considered an improper accommodation, and will the employee then have cause for a complaint against the school for not accommodating them because it's not in close proximity to the employee's work area?
Yes. Representative from Wilsonville. Had to look it up on my cheat sheet. Thank you. And to answer your question, and this school district issue was very complex, and what we wanted to do was, rather than tell a district this is exactly how you have to comply with this law, is that a school district can comply with it by having policies for each building that are appropriate, and that the policy and the local school board will make the decision what is proximate and what is not proximate. And it would be, in my opinion, very difficult for the Bureau of Labor and Industry to say that a place was not appropriate if it is a policy that is approved by the school board, which is an elected body and also has significant influence from the teachers that are in that district.
One more question, Mr. Speaker.
Final question from Representative Kremel. Do you yield?
Yes, I do.
He does.
Thank you, Representative. On the last page of the bill, page 6, the commissioner is given authority to appoint an advisory committee. Can you help me understand what this advisory committee is really going to be expected to do? And because I'm not sure I'm understanding it in the language here. And what kind of authority is this advisory committee going to have? And what kind of obligation is it going to be of the commissioner to follow it?
Mr. Speaker, I would ask that my fellow representative from Albany answer this question, if appropriate, because he is the one that prepared this language in an amendment.
Representative Kremel, do you mind redirecting your question to the good representative from Albany?
Not at all, Mr. Speaker.
Very good.
Representative, what had occurred was that there was actually, at the very beginning of this bill, there was four different professions that we were really concerned about that we looked at. And they dealt with law enforcement, fire, agriculture, and construction. And as we developed this and everything, one of the issues that we dealt with and finally concluded with that made sense to me was actually if one of these professions, as well as maybe some of the others, that would have a difficult time accommodating a situation for expressing breast milk in the workplace, that there would be an advisory committee of equal representation of that profession for both management as well as for employee. And during that time period, rather than boldly going all the way through the process of determining that an employer was in violation and then taking action, this mechanism was in place then to take a look at what was going on and to review it and then take care of it with a remedy.
Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Grodd?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Short and brief. When it comes to breast milk versus bottle milk, there's numerous health reasons that Representative Maurer discussed, but also there's been some studies as far as obesity goes that if you have bottle milk, you're a lot more prone to be obese. It might be the reason that the way that we tried, if people are like myself, were too cheap, and so you'd dispense the whole bottle versus if you're breastfeeding, you might tend to say no. So there's health-wise, you just can't beat breast milk, and I think this is a very good bill, and it needs to pass.
For the discussion, Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
My understanding of our conflict of interest law is, or rules, is that we only are required to declare it if we have a fiduciary interest. I do not. I'm not declaring a conflict of interest. But my family does stand to benefit greatly from this bill. My wife is expecting her first child. She's also expecting to return to work within 6 months of that child's birth, and she hopes to be able to take advantage of this bill to express milk. She and many mothers in her position will benefit greatly from this. Our family will, as it grows and develops, will benefit, and I appreciate the good work on everyone's behalf who's helped reach such a good compromise on this bill, and I applaud all those involved. Thank you very much.
For the discussion, Representative Comp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't speak very often
to
on
the bill.
Oh, to the bill.
Okay.
But when I'm passionate about something, I'm one of 14 breastfed children. I have breastfed my four daughters, and I have 7 breastfed grandchildren, and a breastfed baby is a happy baby. Please pass this bill.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Berger, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you. Very briefly, Mr. Speaker. I'm amused, colleagues, by the squirming in this room. We shouldn't be squirming about this issue, and I think the squirming is reflective of how far we have come in modern culture from this basic human act. Okay? This is a good bill. It is an accommodation that we need to make for a very important segment of our workplace. I urge your I vote, and I thank and applaud the people on this committee who worked so hard to bring it to you. It is one of the most worked bills in this body. It is a good bill. Vote aye. Go home. Smile. Feel good about it.
There is a... Are you sure? There is a call of the House. Representative Barnhart is joined by Representative Holvey, Representative Gelser, Representative Kotek, Representative Witt, and Representative Beyer. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. Sergeant at Arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Burley Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores Galizio, Garrard, Gelser, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Dingfelder, Gelser, Gerard, excuse, not subject to the call, 4, Boone, Esquivel, Minnis, Wisnet.
All members are present. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Tomei, how do you vote? Representative Tomei votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Representative Nolan votes aye. House Bill 2372A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Hunt, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, I request unanimous consent that Representative Boquist be allowed to change his vote on House Bill 2297. It will not affect the outcome.
Representative Hunt requests unanimous consent to allow Representative Boquist to change his vote on House Bill 2297. Is there an objection? Hearing none, Representative Boquist, how do you vote?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Boquist votes no.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hunt.
I move that the House do now adjourn until 10:45 a.m. on Monday.
Representative Hunt moves that the House adjourn until 10:45 a.m. That's Monday, April 2nd, 2007. Is there objection? There is an objection. Those who are of the opinion the House should adjourn will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Representative Burley is excused for business. Representative Greg Smith, how do you vote? Representative Greg Smith is off the floor. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Representative Nolan. Representative Nolan is off the floor. The motion to adjourn, having received the required majority, is passed. We are adjourned.